Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Serving Up Success with a Splash. Tonight, I am joined. Well, first of all, my name, Angie Snowball, the Renaissance Woman. See, I just feel like everybody knows me. All right, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Bruce Kramer, the Corporate Cockroach.
And
I am Nutesh Dasanjh, the Strategy Doctor. And apparently, I have to do my own introductions now. You guys aren't going to introduce me. I have to say my own name now. What's
yeah,
that about?
no, I'm over it. Everybody can grow up and do their own names.
Dr. D.
Dr. D. All right. So before we get started, guys, how was your week? Anything exciting?
It's been a busy, busy week, Angie. Yeah, it's been so super busy. I've been working till 10, 11 most nights this week. So
oh
tomorrow
my
I'm
gosh.
Looking forward to shutting down about 3 p.m. And I'll be having a drink at 4:30. I'll have a drink in front of me at 4:30 tomorrow.
Oh, good. I was going to say, Nantej, there's an episode on that called Time Management. But let's go ahead.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Should I listen to myself, what I said?
Yes, I think you should.
Thanks, Andy.
Oh, my gosh. So tonight we are going to dive into one of the most Googled questions. How do I get promoted? Real quick, spoiler alert. It's not about working hard. You can work hard as you want. It's not going to be enough. It's about visibility, being seen, and basically working smarter. But before we get there, Bruce is going to do our drink tonight. Corporate cocktail.
Okay, so we're featuring tonight the gin gimlet. And basically, it's 2 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounces of fresh lime juice, and another 3 ounces of, or 3/4 ounces of simple syrup. And then you shake it. And unlike Angie, I don't have my bar right behind me. But you just shake it up, you strain it, and you pour it. And it's really crisp and clean. So I highly recommend it. Now, I cheated. I just poured the gin in tonight because I was running a little late. Did a little twist of lemon and a little shot of olive juice. But to everybody, cheers!
Cheers.
Cheers.
See you guys.
Back to you, Angie.
I know. I think I'm the only one with the real gimlet. And to be honest, I chose this because I have a gimlet glass and I've been dying to use it. It's so super cute. Because, Nadej, you cheated too, right? What's in your drink?
I don't think cheating is the right word to describe what I did. No, I put some gin and I put some tonic and I didn't fancy a lemon or a lime. So I'm not sure that's cheating, Angie. You would describe that as cheating?
It's adjusting. It's adjusting. That's what we're going to call it. That's what we're going to call it. Okay, so it's adjusting. Adjusting to your own taste. Making things work for you. And that's basically what our podcast is all about. Strategy Meets Happy Hour, making things work for you. So talking about getting promoted. We chose it because, you know, every week we're trying to choose topics that are relevant. That's our biggest goal. We want to be relevant and helpful to all of you. So by the way, if you have topics, let us know. Direct message us, drop it in social media, whatever, let us know. But I went ahead and did some research, got some of my marketing buddies involved, said one of the number one asked questions. How do I get promoted? So, and this can work for everybody. This isn't just if you're, you know, entry level, mid level, you know, even upper level. It can also work. All the things we're going to talk about work as well when you are a business owner. So, because basically as a business owner, you are one, you are looking for people to promote. So it's a good way for you to look at the right people to hire and promote. But two, you're basically hiring, getting yourself promoted all the time as a business owner, because you want people to see who you are and what you do. And we're all selling ourselves without the nasty ick feeling. That's what we're trying to do. Okay. So we were going to start this after the break, but we got done really fast today. So I'm going to hand it over to Dr. D to get us started because he is the strategy guy and he actually, you know, makes notes and does things. So we're going to let him do this first and walk us through some principles.
Angie, thanks. But quick question, Angie.
Yes.
Did you know, before we started this topic, did you know it was one of the most Googled questions? Because I did not know.
I didn't know it was like as high as it was. I figured it would be somewhere like top 10. By the way, when you're talking about business professional development category, I think one of the most Googled questions is probably like, how do I make $1 million, or, you know, what do giraffes have spots, or, you know, something like that. But for us, I did not know it was going to be as high as it was. I was really shocked how high it was. That's why I thought we should do it.
And it was higher than
giraffes
have spots. Wow.
Yeah.
It was high then.
Beat that out. Really beat that one out. How fast can they run? Beat it out.
Bruce, did you have something there?
No, I just said good call by Angie, because I didn't realize that either. But like Angie, I knew it had to be high on the list. And stay tuned. It's not that difficult.
Who knows? So guys, I've got some thoughts about in this segment. I want to sort of, and I want to get your opinions on this. There are lots of ways to sort of position yourself to get promoted. I want to start with the things to do. I know later on we want to cover what not to do, but let's start with what to do. And the first one I always think is the easiest one. Lead before you get the title. Lead before you get the title. But what does that mean? Let's expand on that. Behave as though you have got the job. And what I don't mean, behave that way and start ordering people around, because that's in the not to do category. Yeah.
That's not
what I mean. I mean, show initiative, do stuff, do hard stuff, volunteer for stuff, do the jobs that nobody else wants to do, even if they're easy. Okay. Really take some accountability and responsibility. And enjoy what you're doing.
Gosh, that's such good advice. You know, real quick, when I was at Procter & Gamble, I came in as the lowest of the low, because remember, I just left acting. I came at the bottom of the totem pole. So I didn't have any ambitions. I just wanted to help out and be friendly. And I took all those little things like, okay, we're doing a team building exercise to the zoo. Who wants to do it? Nobody raised their hand. I always raised my hand, and lo and behold, 6 months later, the lowest person on the totem pole, everybody knew who I was. Everybody knew I was willing to help, and everybody knew I was good at organizing, and it was the smallest stuff. So I love that you include that. It's not ordering people around. It's taking initiative, even on the things that are not right in your face, even the small things. That's an awesome point.
That's brilliant. Angie, on that note, can you volunteer to introduce me next week again? Can we go back to you introducing me rather than me introducing myself? Okay, forget it. We'll move on. Okay, so
really
have that conversation with yourself. What do I mean by have that conversation with yourself? How can I grow? Not how am I going to get to the next level? How can I grow? How can I be better than I am now? Also, you know, track your achievements, note them down, track your big wins, when you got praise, make a note of them, because at an interview at some point in the future, somebody's going to ask you, what did you achieve? When did you, so pick the times when you got praise, right? So don't make stuff up. Pick the time when you got praise and you got big wins and everybody around was applauding you for volunteering to go take everybody to the zoo. You know, pick those things.
Yeah.
We had a big topic on EQ. We've got more EQ coming in subsequent weeks, but really live EQ, particularly the empathy part. Treat people with respect, have empathy, try and see where they're coming from. Have an idea where they're coming from, non-verbally, rather than just listening out to what's said at face value. How are they quiet? Are they late in for work? Do they stay late? Pick up on these cues, need these non-verbal cues. And I think finally, I want to say this, and I've got a list of 15 things, I'm sure, but I want to say, promote yourself, but do it smartly. Promote yourself with credibility. Don't big yourself up, but big yourself up with credibility. I did this big piece of work. I'm really proud of the fact that I did this piece of work. You know, I feel like I've packed a lot in there. What do you think, Angie? Is there enough?
No,
Is there
there
enough
is a
there to get
lot.
started with?
Oh, Bruce has one. Go ahead, Bruce. We're
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, first of all, I liked all of those points are dead on. But when you said have that conversation, and you're absolutely right, you have to have it with yourself. You have to know, what do I want to do? How do I want to grow? Again, it's having that self-awareness, but also make it known to the organization. Have this conversation with your supervisor and others. Kind of advertise what it is you ultimately want to do, and invite everybody in helping you get there. Like, you can, you know, be honest, say, hey, I know I'm not ready. Here are what I think my strengths and weaknesses are. What do you think? You know, enlist people in helping you achieve the things you want to achieve, and get that honest feedback as to how well are you doing on the path to where you want to go.
And showcase what you're doing. And this is where I think people get the ew, ick feeling. Like Natesh touched on a little bit, like, but you can do it in a nice way. You know, like if you did something that was a big achievement, don't say, I want everybody to know I'm freaking amazing and this is what I did. That's what not to do. But you can get on there and say, I want to thank my team and the people who supported me to win this award, because I am honored to be a part of this. And thank you for being part of my journey. So then you're lifting other people up as well. While you're doing that, you're building a relationship, but you're still letting people know, hey man, I'm pretty good. I got this award. They can do that without an ick feeling. And like Bruce said, you know, ask people what to do. And it doesn't have to, don't go in there and say, listen, I want to be your boss. How do I do it? I need a list. That's pushy. That's a not to do. But like Bruce said, opening the conversation, asking questions, that's going to be, to me, is one of the most important things. Someone who wants to learn is one of the most important things, because it says they're open. So if someone comes into me and says, you know, I would really like to do this someday, what would I need to do to get there? You know, and then take that feedback, what you're not good at, you know, assertiveness, aggressiveness. There's a million ways to get professional development now. Hint, 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 listen to our podcast every week. But there's a lot of other ones, and there's other things to do. And that's something you can do as well. So we're going to get way more into this. When we get back, Bruce is going to start. We're going to let Bruce talk as long as he wants, because he's got some killer stories.
No, within reason, Angie. Angie, no. We're not. He's not going to go on that long. Within reason. Within reason, okay?
Okay.
I've got security outside his front door, and if it goes on too long, they're going to go.
I'm going to cut him off. All right, Jesse, go ahead and take us to break and join us in a few more minutes to hear Bruce's stories.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Okay. Okay, I was waiting for your cue, Angie.
I know, am I really allowed to?
So, I'm just going to acknowledge the organization because even to this day, they are voted the best organization to work for, one of the most innovative. And it happens to be a distribution company that's been around for a long time, Grainger. I owe everything I've got to them. I choose to, shout them out because, to be honest, I was there for 42 years. So a lot of my stories come from the time they helped me grow up, and they truly did. They're a very nurturing, forward-thinking organization that really focuses on the customer. Having said that, how do you get promoted? Those that have seen this, you all know I'm the slow kid. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I am the slow kid in the room.
No, however, do not believe him.
Oh, that is so true. I could tell you, there's people still alive that can vouch for this at Grainger. Because I'm as old as dirt. But what happened is that, over a 15-year period with lots of nurturing, lots of mentoring from just the organization at large and everybody that was in my life, team members, my supervisors, managers, etc. They were all behind me. Well, I grew up to the point that eventually I was very big in operations. This goes to about 1995. I was then running the largest facility in the network of about 370 some facilities that they had throughout the country and parts of the world at that time. And there was this need as a distribution company. Like I said, they're very forward thinking. They didn't want to be that dinosaur. And everybody, this is when technology, the internet, virtual networks, and I would say malls and stuff were starting to spring. Clearly we're moving into the digital age at a very fast pace in 1995. Well, not wanting to be left behind, Grainger was like, you know what? We got to look across the landscape and we got to pick who we think our best performers are in each area. So for me, I was considered operations. They went to finance, they went to HR, they went to product management, they went to marketing. And basically they created a team that I always referred to as the Dirty Dozen. We were handpicked. Now, if you can imagine this slow kid getting a call saying, would you be interested? And this would be leaving operations, going in the corporate. And here's your job. Guide us from a technology. How can we leapfrog our competition and really move quickly into the digital world?
Well, so how did you get that call? Why was it you?
Okay. So it goes back to everything Nitesh said. Great question, Angie. Thank you. One, they were looking for people that mastered their discipline. So master your current role, because that's what they were in. They wanted somebody that knew these businesses. They wanted somebody that knew marketing intimately, operations. And then the other thing is I had built a personal brand by then. If you haven't noticed, I'm pretty positive. I got more energy than I know what to do with. And I have a can do. I can get it done. Might not be pretty, but we'll get it done. And, those were things that I had built. And so they came to me. Plus, I happened to be fortunate. I was in the number one branch. I did grow it to that. And when I say I, with hundreds of people supporting it, I never did things alone because I'm the soul kid. But anyways, they came to me and I remember my exact comments because there were other candidates, but I'm very authentic. I just said, you're looking for me to guide the company when it comes to technology. I'm kind of good with Word. PowerPoint's still a struggle and Excel flips me out. And you're asking me, are you sure? But yeah. Here was the thing. They recognized when they selected these candidates, they didn't want any biases. It wasn't important to have the skill or the knowledge around the technology. They were going to provide resources to get me out there, get me acclimated to what all the things are that are happening in the technology world. What they wanted, does he have a good understanding of our damn business where the rubber meets the road? And will he introduce technology that will actually enhance our position in that particular area of the organization and not just be something shiny and fun to do? So I, you know, they also knew I was coachable. They knew, if things went off, I was coachable, I was adaptable, and I thrive when I don't know what the hell the next step is. Because I love research.
I have a question for you, sure, around this. The other candidates, the other 11 in the Dirty Dozen, were they similar to you in terms of attitude? Describe them. You know, what were the similar themes?
Well, how did again, they get picked? And I would say 50% of us fit my description. We were masters of what we did, and they wanted that knowledge to be complemented by technology, not replaced. And so I would say 50. The other 50%, there were some people that had quite a bit of technical knowledge. And again, you know, they were all at that time considered the best in their field. And as you can imagine, we, you know, the 12 of us developed a very strong working relationship. And coincidentally, we complemented one another. Mm. Oh, shit, hang on to Bruce. He could run us off the edge, you know? And so we complemented one another.
I've got another question for you, Bruce. So
sure.
were any of them sort of all about, you know, self-promotion in any way?
None. Because this was a role. And I got to tell you, it launched all 12 of our careers. I mean, literally, our incomes doubled in a very short period of time. I mean, it was a big thing. And none of us advertised for the position. And in fact, all the candidates were handpicked. But what I'm highlighting is the organization looks for those folks that, one, are authentic. They are very self-aware. They know who they are. They know what they're not. Two, they have freaking attitude. You know, you tell them you can't do it and they will prove you wrong. But they have a positive attitude that inspires the people around them. Because the reality is they knew with this slow kid, I wouldn't have the answers. But I'll be damned, I'll know where to get them. I know the questions to ask.
Yeah, I'll find them.
And I will find them.
I'll figure it out,
I am not too proud to say I need help.
Yes, same
And
here.
I would say the third thing, so this is how easy it is to get promoted. Authentic, positive attitude, a can-do attitude. Not passive, not neutral, not negative. Can-do. Third thing, likable. We like him. Even if he screws up, he's kind of likable. And I would say all, you know, the bulk of the candidates fit that to the T. We were all easy because we knew we'd have to be coached. In fact, that's the first time I was introduced to an executive level coach to help me navigate at the very top of the organization at that point in my career.
So I wonder, Angie, Bruce, can I just bring in Angie here just on that point, on those three points? Have you experienced the same thing in your career with those 3 points, or is there anything slightly different about, you know what I'm trying to get at here is do inauthentic. I mean, if you're self-promoting because you've done great work, I don't have a problem with that, but inappropriate, inauthentic self-promoters, have they been promoted in your experience?
So, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. The corporate world is a shit show most of the time, right? So, I saw some get promoted, but they didn't last.
Yeah.
I saw some get promoted and it was a disaster. And several of those came back to me because I honestly had no business being promoted. I didn't know what I was doing. I was new. I had no background. I had nothing in that. But a lot of people came back to me and asked me to help out with a project or to do this or that because, like Bruce said, coachable. That's such a big deal. And I think number two, people knew I was authentic because you sit at the corporate table and everybody says, well, the CPRs don't meet the KPIs because the KPGs weren't. And that was the only person in the room that said, what the hell is a KPG, a KPR, letters? And a CTI? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know what they are.
Why are you going through the alphabet? Well, what's wrong? Can you just not go ABC?
And then inevitably, when we'd leave that meeting, somebody or many somebodies would come up to me and say, oh, my God, thank you for asking. I didn't. And I think eventually that becomes your reputation. And funny, one of my bosses said that I was fearless. And I thought, that is so not what I am. I'm just not smart. So I'm asking lots of questions. But that was the reputation I got for not being afraid to ask because I'm coachable. I think that's the number one thing is being coachable and letting people know you're coachable.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
How about you, Natez? You're asking a lot of questions about these self-promoters. What's your experience? Because your realm's a little different in some ways, you know, academia and whatnot.
Yeah. So I think similar to you, NG, that I noticed So I want to differentiate between self-promotion, which is, you know, authentic, and self-promotion, which is not authentic. It's based on something else, if you give me a few minutes in the next segment, I want to really touch on that big time. But
I think you're right.
I think I've seen people get promoted, but they haven't lasted. They've been found out.
And that was also before culture was such a big deal. Right now, culture is a big fit. This is 20, 25 years ago. Things are so different now. People are looking for likable, coachable before they're looking for skills. In the old days, it was like, okay, this guy's been here that long. He's been here longer than the other one. He knows more than this, and we'll promote him. And you've got some super duper brilliant engineer that hates people, you know, managing 30 people, and it's a disaster. Now, I believe that doesn't happen as often because the general culture is find a fit.
More important.
I also want to say this is backed by lots of scientific evidence. When I talked before about authenticity, attitude, etc., there's a study that was done, just like these old tools. We talked about SWOT, we talked about diamond mapping, blah, blah. Well, it was called the Carnegie Triangle, I believe. It was a study done by Carnegie. They actually enlisted Napoleon Hill to conduct this study. So if you don't know who he is, look him up. But across thousands of organizations, over a decade of study, they listed what are the successful attributes of success, or what are the key attributes of successful people. Well, they got a bunch of feedback, so they narrowed it into three categories. And the three categories, skills account for 7.5%. of your success. Knowledge was the second bucket. Guess what? 7.5%. So now we're at 15%. Guess what the key attribute of successful people was in this very scientific study? Attitude, 85%. And this, you can look it up. This is a very well published study in business, and every business school alludes to it, worth their salt.
Even I've heard of that. So look it up while we're on break, because Jesse's going to take us to break. And when we come back, Bruce is going to tell us more about what not to do, because sometimes that's more important than what to do. So Jesse, go ahead and take us away. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas. which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody. By the way, thank you all for joining. We love you. We love you. We love the fact that our show continues to grow, and it's all because of you. All right. So as we said, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
But as Angie said, and I'm not going to talk much, believe it or not, but I want to open this segment up with, there's a fine line between self-promotion and self-sabotage. And what do I mean by that? I've known people, whether it be in this day and age, their posts or their workplace behavior that screams, "Oh, look at me." Well, I'm here to tell you, they're SOL. When it comes across, "Oh, look at me," versus, "Here's how I might be able to help," there's a world of difference. And as I mentioned, you want to build an army of people that are trying to help you and you're trying to help them become successful. And nobody wants to show off. Natej?
So Natej, how do we do that?
Lots of ways as usual. And Bruce, I think you're dead on right there. The look at me. Let me expand at the look on me. What not to do, things to avoid. Thing one, this is a pet peeve of mine. The first two are real pet peeves of mine. Crowdsourcing information, you know, in your group, in your team, across teams, and then going to present it as your own. Like a look at me, I have all this information. Please don't do it. It's really painful. It's really icky. And you might succeed for a short time, but you erode your long-term value. Similarly, it's the same sort of thing, but I want to say in different words, stop taking credit for other people's work. Stop yeah. taking credit. You know, that's a thing to avoid, because you lose friends, you lose influence. You might get some short-term gain. Probably you won't even get the short-term gain, but I've known it to happen. You get some gain. But it's not going to last, okay? And then you're scrabbling around, seeing what to do. Let's talk about public persona. LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a professional network. Do not put pictures of you going to the gym or going to the beach, your food. Just, you know. Or vague inspirational quotes that you've stolen from, I don't know, Abraham Lincoln or Gandhi or someone. Don't do that. Everybody knows it wasn't your quote, you know. So, and similarly on LinkedIn, I want to call it this, that sort of humble bragging. You know, I'm honored to be given this recognition again. I feel humbled to achieve to have achieved. No, just if you want to say something, say it straight and do something, you know, say it with authenticity, but add some credibility to it. Don't do the humble brag. It's not great. I want to say two more things, guys, because this has come onto my radar recently. Whatever your situation, do not criticize your employer or your colleagues in public.
That's a good one.
Bad move. Ooh. Nobody respects that. It's that gossip nobody respects. But at the same time, you know, don't go silent. You know, you got to speak. So I was about to say it's a fine line. It's not a fine line. It's a pretty wide bridge
aisle.
I stand corrected.
Six-way highway that you can easily cross between humble bragging and staying silent. There's a massive space. It's not a tightrope. Look, I've got a lot more I want to say, but as always, I'm eager to find out what you guys think. Angie, I want to hear about your experience on LinkedIn and what not to do on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's something I get a lot. Well, the first thing I would say is be on LinkedIn. I'm often surprised how many, even like higher level executives, have no profile. Now, you don't have to be active on LinkedIn every day. In some jobs, you won't have an option. You'll be so busy. But what happens, because we've all been in that spot, I've seen my CEO, my CFO, my COO, I've seen them all let go at a moment's notice, right? So, and of course, you're going to use Korn Ferry and you have other recruiting services and whatnot. But what a wasted opportunity to not have a profile out there, because the world's favorite pastime right now is stalking people. Since we've had social media, we're allowed to do it legally, and that's what people like to do. I mean, you Google somebody, and this is why you should really have LinkedIn. If you Google yourself, unless your name is like John Smith, one of your top 3 to 5 results is usually your LinkedIn profile. So what if that's empty? What a wasted opportunity and bad first impression, right? So first of all, I always tell people, always have a profile. If you're in the professional world at all, in fact, if you're a mom that's not in the professional world yet, have it. You can still be on there. You can still share insightful things. And then I think it's kind of what Bruce was saying was like personal branding. Natej already wrapped up the humble bragging. We got that part. He's got that down. But you can do stuff on there. Like we said, just be careful. But another thing that you want to do is educate. Show people that you're interested in your industry. Show people, share some articles that you find. And not just to show people, but use it. Use LinkedIn to find professional development articles that can make you better at your job because you learned something about your industry or the trend or something in it, and then share it with somebody with a thought. Now, your thought doesn't have to be a paragraph. You don't have to blog. But when someone stalks you and they look you up on LinkedIn, they're saying, oh my gosh, this guy, so he's going to be an engineer. Look at all the stuff he's into. He's not just a civil engineer. He's looking at water. He's looking at mechanical. He's really open to learning new things. So I say that. And as Natej said, don't bash your employer. Help, be nice about it. Talk about the good things that are happening there, because that's what an employer is going to look for. If you're bashing them or just talking about how you don't like your job, you're throwing red flags all over the place. No one's going to touch you with a 10-foot pole. And you're crazy if you think employers aren't checking your profile out on LinkedIn. They're going to do it.
And you see, Angie, don't you? And you just see on LinkedIn all the time. I'm thinking, please take that down. Somebody tell a friend. Please, somebody phone and take that down, because that is not going to help you.
Yeah, no, not at all. And then the other thing, that same way, like when people, suddenly they're looking for a job or they're getting unhappy and they don't want employer, LinkedIn actually has a setting for this, that you can hide yourself from your own company so they won't know you're looking. Well, how about not worry about that? How about build a network the whole time you're working with people in your industry, companies you'd like to work for? Reach out to them. Say, hey, I work for Procter & Gamble, but I see you work for Johnson & Johnson. We're in the same industry. We'd love to see some of the stuff you're sharing. Can we connect? And then before you get to the point you're kicked out and you're trying to keep everything secret, you can reach out to the Johnson & Johnson guy and say, hey, man, things aren't going great. I'm just looking to go forward. And you can do this on a private message if you're connected. And then what is that? That goes back to the very beginning. We're just building relationships, but build that net of relationships, build that network of people in your industry, people of influence before you need it. Because if you do it when you need it, you're desperate. So do it now while you're enjoying it.
I have a question for Bruce, but it's also for you. I have a question for both of you. What do you think of using professional people for your LinkedIn? What about,
You can go first, Bruce.
Well, Bruce, what do you so think? Hold on. Hold on. Using? I need to understand. With Nitesh, I always have to. I'm the slow kid. What do you
I'll
mean
go first.
By using,
let him talk.
What do you mean by using professionals?
Well, Angie is a professional person who deals with
so I create content for other
people. Yeah. You do content for other people. Yeah. Oh, wait. You do content for me. Oh, wait.
But these guys will also know that I'm careful about who I do content for. When I met both of them, when they talked to me about what they wanted to do, I asked, and I prepared them. I said, look, I'm going to ask you weird questions. I'm going to ask you about your family. I'm going to ask you about your personal life. I'm going to ask you things you like to do. And people get mad at me because they're like, this is not about LinkedIn. I won't take on your account to create content if I don't like you, if I don't like what you're doing, and I don't feel like I can grab your voice. Most content creators are not like that. Most of them are shoving in ChatGPT and putting it right back out there, you know. And that, I think, is stupid because that's not you. That's ChatGPT. And so you're not helping yourself.
Well, Bruce, what did you do before you had Angie to help you with the content? How were you active on LinkedIn?
I was active, but not very effective. But, you know, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Well, first of all, Angie's exactly right. Every organization's HR is looking at all your social media. They have to, because you could become a huge liability for these organizations that have deep pockets. That's just the world we live in. So first of all, great point, Angie. I never even, you know, and you're absolutely right. All right. The use of professionals. You need to, every good leader or professional that wants to move forward and up needs to invest in themselves. And years ago, you couldn't really afford to do it because you didn't have tools like Zoom where you can have face-to-face conversations with an expert for 30 minutes, pay a few hundred bucks, and change your life. That wasn't possible. You had to hire some big consulting firm that enters at $1 million+. You know, you didn't have things readily available. And so when you have somebody like Angie, the queen of LinkedIn, it's not all that expensive. You spend more on a bar and a good night.
It's really expensive. It's really expensive, Bruce. Look, put people off. We want Angie to keep on working with us. So, guys, it's so expensive. It's really expensive.
But invest in when you see weaknesses, you now have at your disposal the best of the best in the industry via Zoom, where you could spend 4 hours a month and really change the trajectory of your life. It's real easy to do now. And to Angie's point, one of the big, big opportunities is how do I create my brand, market my, without being, oh, look at me. You got the Angie. You got Angie to help you with that. And I'm not promoting
and I
just
even have
Angie.
Courses.
Because I get discounts if you go and say, Bruce said come to you, I get a discount. So hurry up.
I actually would. All right, we got to go to break. And then we're going to come back for our last segment to wrap up some of our key ideas. And if you have any questions, now would be the time to shoot them over to us. So, Jesse, go ahead and take us to break.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And we did get a question, and I love it. It's a good one. So what if I've been positive, but I keep being ignored for promotions? What should I do? So I'm going to throw my two cents before I throw it to these guys, give them a minute to process. But I love this question because it touches something we didn't really bring up this time, is your mindset. And I've been sitting on a stat I've just been dying to throw out. Too many people think there aren't enough promotions to go around. There's only so many jobs. There are approximately 348,000 executive level roles in the United States every year that are open. So imagine the trickle down of how many high level jobs are open. So I would say to this one, keep positive, know that it's possible. So believe it, believe it's possible. Keep the positive attitude, be intentional. So try some of the things Bruce and Natasha and I talked about. If you've done all those three, it might be time to look somewhere else. And that's why we make those LinkedIn connections, because you might not be valued where you are. All right, so let's go to Natasha. Oh, Bruce has his finger up. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
It's blinking.
Well, to your point, being intentional is let people know you're looking to grow. Because I've been in organizations where there are some very talented people. They're very positive, but they're very happy where they are. And the organization does them a disservice if they push them up, because now you're going to put them in a role that they may or may not want, even if they're qualified, because they're happier than a pig in mud in what they're doing. So let people know. So just, I wanted
no,
to
I think that's
springboard
awesome.
On being intentional. Let people know you want to get ahead. And what do I need to do from your perspective to continue forward?
And most companies have performance review times. This is the perfect time to get in there and do that. Let them know what you want to do and ask how to do it. And if they don't give the performance review, ask for it. Ask for it every 6 months. You know, let them know, I need feedback. So, Natasha, how about you? What are you thinking?
So, actually, I want to really echo both your points. Time to leave is a good one. And Bruce as well, being intentional, letting people know, don't make assumptions. Yeah. Because people might be making assumptions based on your body language, your nonverbal cues, etc. But I've got a different one. You might be a square peg in a round hole. Not in terms of the company, just the sector. The sector just may not be for you. I've definitely been there in my 20s. I was doing stuff which I was just the wrong. It was the wrong thing, and I wasn't there that long, so it's not as though I was being overlooked. But I just think this happens a lot, where people end up in sectors, jobs, which they didn't intend to go into. They just ended up there, but it wasn't quite them. So have a conversation with yourself. Can I grow here? Is this challenging to me? Can I learn? I just think that people, we all have certain types of skills, and if those skills don't marry with the sector you're in, it's find a different sector. It may not even be find a different job. Find a different sector. Figure out yourself. Know who you are, and go to a sector which really acknowledges your skills.
I feel that hard. When I was at P&G, after a project, I landed in IT. And if my IT guy's listening, he's laughing so hard he fell out of his chair. I so did not belong there. I had no intention. I just hated it. I didn't want to be there. So of course I'm not going to get promoted. I hate it every day. I left and the minute I was allowed to leave, it was awful. So that's such a great point. I mean, have that honest conversation with yourself. And that's hard to do because a lot of times stability and paychecks talk louder than our heart in the real world. But we have to learn to change that. We have to learn to say, look, no amount of money, it can ruin me. As much as money can buy things, money can ruin me by being somewhere I'm miserable for so long. How about you, Bruce? You've been in a million different spots. What are you thinking?
Oh, God. Well, first of all, great points. As always, Dr. D. But Angie, as always, so damn relatable. You piss me off sometimes, I honestly don't have anything to add other than the point, Angie, another point I'm going to bring back from Angie. If you're very good at what you do and you're being told you're a high performer and you've let people know that you want to continue to grow and you're remaining with a very positive and optimistic attitude and you're going nowhere, go somewhere else because you will find a place that will appreciate that. Guaranteed. Yeah. Don't be afraid to leave. Now, you might want to take another job before you leave the job you're in. Don't just walk out the door because we do have financial responsibilities. Remember our paradigm, our diamond mapping, I should say.
And there's countless statistics that it's easier to get a job when you have a job. Versus when you don't. I think a lot of that's mindset, confidence, whatnot. But let's wrap this up because we've got probably a few more minutes. And Bruce, I'm still coming back to you. You get to talk again. But I would like to look. He looks exhausted now. He loves talking. All right. But this question is, what is the one thing that maybe you've learned from us talking? And if it wasn't something that you've learned, what would be your number one thing you'd tell that person trying to get a promotion? What's the most important thing they should do or something you learned? Now, Tej, you start. You're always good at this stuff.
Easy for me. Really easy. Bruce just said it 2 minutes ago. Let people know. Let people know. I'm pretty certain that I sat in my 20s not letting people know. Mm-hmm. Just let people know. This is, I see myself, I'm trying to work hard. I see myself growing in this direction, maybe that direction. I'm interested in a couple of other things. What do you think?
I love it. All right, Bruce, you got about 2 minutes.
Well, I'm going to say let them know. And in addition to letting them know, ask them what do they think. And I've been in this position where they go, Bruce, this just wouldn't be a good fit for you. And then you have a decision. But now there's no more guessing. They flat out told you, if that's where you intend to go, we don't think you're a good fit. You have many decisions. I never left the company for that kind of feedback. What I did is tried to understand working with that same, well, where would I be a good fit? Here's kind of what I'm thinking. Never give up. Can do. But get the damn feedback and then move forward accordingly.
That's awesome. So,
what about you, Angie? Give us something. Give us something big. Give us something amazing.
Well, I think for me, I mean, I'm the LinkedIn lady, right? But I'm really going to push that. Get a damn profile. Like, I see that crushing people right now. And I have a lot of friends that are higher up in HR, and we talk about it all the time. She's like, can I send this guy to you? I'm like, okay. That's why I created a course for it. Like, you do it. You know you. Be you. This is how you need to fill it out. But I would say, like, tactically, use LinkedIn. Get connected. Build a network before you need it. That would be my big takeaway. So I think summarizing, we've told you that getting promoted isn't just about working hard. It's about not being someone else. You don't have to change to get the promotion. It's about being you, but showing everyone who you are, using your voice to let them know who you are, what you want, working smart and building relationships that they know who you are so that when you're ready to go up, they're ready to put you up where you belong. Any other parting thoughts before we get kicked out? We got 1 minute.
I just want to say the usual thing about our audience. Thank you, audience, but also you two as usual. Thank you for being so open. You know, I like to think I'm open too. We all just lay it out there. We lay our vulnerabilities out there, and I just really love doing the show with you two. So thank you to our audience, and thank you to you two. Really appreciate
it. And Dr. D, what's our subject next week?
Mindset, something about mindset, something about changing mindset, a growth mindset, leaving a fixed mindset behind. All about mindset, guys, next week.
Which is also highly Googled. So join us next week. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget that success is best served with a splash. See you next week. Splash.
That's cheers. All that's left. Cheers.
Take it away, Missy.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Brancu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.